Dominic Cabaty is delivered by TriStar Moving, ESPN 102.5 The Game, live from Boomba's Craft Pizza and Tap House in East Nashville, where the lovely Gina Berg is sitting here waiting for you today to stop on by. I mean, I'm serious. Gina over there is like Santa Claus of Pred stuff. Not only does she have yard signs that you can put up that say for Smashville, they got Pred's flags, they got 102.5 The Game stuff, they got all kinds of everything. You can register to win a pair of tickets for Game 3, Gina. Game 3. Game 3 Friday night, you can register to win at one lucky winner that stops by between 2 to 6. While we're here at Boomba's Craft Pizza and Tap House in East Nashville, we'll win those tickets for game number 3. Caroline Fenton is here. Hello, Caroline.
Hello. Happy playoff week.
Happy playoff week. By the way, Caroline, something that you are unaware of.
Oh.
But is a big deal. Maybe just to me. I don't know. Whatever. But our friends at McDonald's, the McDonald's on Broadway and the one in Hermitage, every year they put up my playoff prediction, or at least the last 2 years, they've put up my playoff prediction right there on the marquee. And I have been told that they have a special prediction. Now, I made my prediction on the show, but because I'm 0-for-2, picking the Predators to beat Dallas last year and picking the Predators to beat Arizona, or excuse me, Dallas 2 years ago, picking them to beat Arizona last year, apparently they've decided to change up how they're going to do this. So,
is it going to be me now?
Well, I'm not sure. I don't know if they – I don't know. I don't know. We shall see. But apparently there's a change-up on the McDonald's board, so we will be keeping our eyes on that one. I do want to start on this, though. Today is game number one. And I've always thought, you know, when you're a big underdog, and I was looking at ESPN, and I think they have 16 writers at ESPN or 15 writers at ESPN, and all 15 are picking against the Predators. They're picking the Carolina Hurricanes. And I've always thought, you know, hey, in life, most times you're going to be up against the odds no matter what it is that you do. But you got to at least believe in yourself. And you've got to have a plan. And those are the two things. And I will start with this. I have talked to enough people inside the Predators organization over the last week. They think they're going to win this series. I don't think they're going to win this series. Caroline doesn't think they're going to win this series. Ian doesn't think they're going to win this series. Everybody at ESPN doesn't think they're going to win this series. There are a lot of people. Corey Curtis was on our show Friday. He doesn't think they're going to win this series. There are a lot of people who do not think the Predators are going to win this series. But they think they're going to win this series. And I don't mean, you know, that false bravado. You know, when you're talking to somebody, you get a pretty good sense of whether or not they're actually full of it or they're telling you the truth. And I've been around enough people long enough in sports to know that there's the Vanderbilt football approach of, you know, we respect Georgia a lot. They're a really good football team, but we're going to go out there and we're going to see. Okay, Vandy football. I've been around that long enough. Then I've been around the guy who's like, no, we're going to win. Like, and you look at it, you're like, you guys are going to win? But everybody's picking against you guys. Everybody's got, no, we're going to win. And I've talked to enough people inside the organization. They think they are going to win. And I am not coming on the air saying they think they're going to win. They think they're going to win this series. I'm not saying that as a look at how silly they are for thinking they're going to win. I don't mean it like that. I mean, there's legitimate confidence inside that building, inside that locker room, that they are going to win this series. And I don't know if it was the Saturday night game at Bridgestone Arena where they clinched a playoff spot that made them think, you know what, we can play with these guys. I don't know if it is the fact that they had that week off for the really emotional Pecorine win, or I don't know what it is that makes them think that they're going to win this series, but they truly believe, and that's the first step. In fact, I remember when the New York Giants knocked off the undefeated Patriots, the best football team of my lifetime, and since it was of my lifetime and I've lived longer than you, I'm going to assume, Caroline, that that was the best football team of your lifetime too, the 2007 Patriots that went, what was it, 18-0, got to the Super Bowl and lost to the Giants. And people forget that those two teams played in Week 16, a meaningless game for the Giants and somewhat meaningless for the Patriots, but they were chasing the perfect record. And everybody was talking that year about how great the big, bad New England Patriots were. And I watched those games. They were awesome. Brady, Randy Moss, Asante Samuel, unbelievable defense. Mike Vrabel was on that team. But the Giants walked away from that final regular season game, and they said, we can play with these guys. We can beat these guys. Fate would have it, they'd end up in the Super Bowl, and the Giants believed they could beat the Patriots, and obviously they did. This Predators team, I don't know why they feel this way, and I'm not saying they're wrong for feeling this way. I'm not saying they're dumb for feeling this way. I don't necessarily agree with it, but I'm telling you that they really think the organization, they really think they're going to win this series. Like, they are confident that they are going to win this series. The confidence that I have on the other side of it that they're not going to win this series is the confidence that they have. And I like confidence, but I'm also not totally sold on it. We've all had that friend that always is very confident in their ideas, and then they go out there and they try to do it, and you're scratching your head saying, I'm not sure that's a really good plan. But the Predators have a plan, which is something that I can give them credit for as well. And this is the plan. Now, John Hines has kind of danced around it, but here's the plan. They're going to go beat up the Carolina Hurricanes. That's exactly what's going to happen tonight. The lineup that's out there tonight, expect Brad Richardson in that lineup. Expect either Eric Goodbranson or Ben Harper in that lineup tonight. They are going to go out there, and they are going to try to rough up the Carolina Hurricanes. Now, I think Carolina knows this a little bit, but watch the forecheck early on tonight. Watch the Predators in their own end. Now, they don't want to take any penalties, and I don't want them to take any penalties, but I think they're going to walk in there, and they're going to say, we're going to punch them square in the mouth today. That's their plan. Now, Mike Tyson used to say, everybody's got a plan until they get hit in the mouth. So the Predators can have this plan that we're going to walk into Raleigh and we're going to punch Carolina square in the jaw and we're going to send the opening shot today. And then all of a sudden, Carolina's up 2-0. That goes out the window. But that's their plan. If you go back to their three games that really mattered against Carolina, forget the game last Monday night. That was almost a preseason game. Throw that one out. On April 15th at Carolina, they lost 4-1. The Predators and Hurricanes each had 32 hits that night. So it was a physical game and each side was hitting each other. But they had 32 hits each, tied. Predators lose 4-1. April 17th, 2 days later, at Carolina, they lost 3-1. The Predators actually won in the hit column 30-28, so they were plus 2. But that still wasn't good enough. Saturday night, Bridgestone Arena, May 8th, Predators win 3-1. They out-hit the Hurricanes 23-14 plus 9. They are going to go after the Hurricanes today. The things that we've seen in the past, that the Dallas Stars have done to the Predators in the playoffs, that the Anaheim Ducks have done to the Predators in the playoffs, that the Winnipeg Jets have done to the Predators in the playoffs over the last handful of years, that's the game plan for the Predators against the Carolina Hurricanes. In fact, listen to John Hines yesterday when he was asked about physicality, because that's the word, physicality. They want to be physical. They want to hit. They want to basically, they're taking Mike Vrabel's game plan and they are applying it to what they want to do against Carolina. Listen to Hines, though, when asked about physicality, how he practically dodges the question. This was yesterday. Take a listen.
What are a couple of things you want to see out of your team to feel like it's going well? The players talked a little bit about, you know, being gritty, toughness, kind of the way to approach this. How are you kind of viewing, you know, the approach you want to bring to this?
Yeah, I don't, you know, I mean, I don't look into forecasts or what it goes. I mean, we have an identity that we want to be able to play with. We want to play fast. We want to execute with the puck. You know, we want to have everyone in our lineup playing to their max capacity and playing to the identity that gives us an opportunity to be a good team. And, you know, that's really what the focus is as a coach.
So the coach basically said, you know, I'm not really going to forecast it out there when you brought up physicality. And you notice he dodged it. He stayed away from that word. He talked about wanting to be energetic, wanting to play fast, wanting to play to their identity, but he didn't say anything about, no, we need to go in there and we need to be really physical. And that's because they don't want Carolina to know that. Even though I'm pretty sure Carolina's got it figured out, they don't want Carolina to know that the Predators are coming in there and they're going to bloody their nose tonight. That's the plan. In fact, Mattias Ekholm, maybe not as completely guarded as the coach was yesterday, Mattias Ekholm on our radio show last week pretty much pointed to what this game plan is going to be.
We know that they're a really high-skill team. They play with a lot of speed. So I guess to our advantage, if you look at our lineup, maybe a thing that we have a little bit more than maybe they do is the physical part of the game and the size in that matter. And I think we showed in in the last two games here over the weekend that when we play a heavier game, a harder style game, I think that will benefit us. So I think that's one of the areas that we maybe have an edge on them.
We want to play a heavier game. We want to play more physical. Yeah, they got great speed, but we really want to take it to them. Again, two games they lost, tied in hits, Predators plus two. The game they won, plus nine. John Hines didn't go on the radio last week on Robbie and Rex Road and say that he was thinking about scratching Ellie Tolvanen without actually knowing what he was going to do. He knew what he was going to do, and he knew why he was going to do it, because he wants to rough up the Carolina Hurricanes. I think tonight, that's going to tell you that's what we should watch for. That's what the most important thing is. Now, obviously, the most important thing is that they score more goals than the Hurricanes. I get it. But that's the thing that is tangible to the Predators, and that is how physical they are, how much they are pushing, how much they are hitting. Tanner Jeannot's line, how much ice time do they get? Remember, John Hines has been starting them a lot because he wants them to set the tone. That's how they plan to win this series, and they think they're going to win it. Now, I'm picking against them because I think the Carolina Hurricanes are a really good hockey club. But that's their plan. And I will say this. I will commend somebody if they have a plan that makes sense to me. If somebody comes to you with a business idea and you say, oh, that might be a good idea, what's your plan? And they give you a plan that makes no sense, or there's no tangible benefits or no path to success, you look at them and you say, I'm not investing in that. The Predators, for their sake, they have a plan, and they think it's going to work. So that's what we're probably going to see tonight. 615-737-1025. Let's get your calls. Let's get your texts. Let's get your thoughts on game number one. But again, that is the plan. They are going to rough up the Carolina Hurricanes tonight. I would not be surprised. I would not be surprised if you see some cheapies early. If you see the Predators go out of their way. Now, they've got to avoid the box. But if you see the Predators go out of their way to set the tone with the Hurricanes, I would not be surprised. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll get Caroline's reaction. We'll get Ian's thoughts. We'll get your thoughts. And also, David Poile hinted at something about the lineup. Win or lose. And I think when you realize what their plan is, maybe it makes a little bit more sense. We'll get to that coming up next. But again, their plan, they are going to pop the Carolina Hurricanes square in the face. That is the goal. They are going to try to out-physical the Hurricanes. They are going to try to push the Hurricanes around. And that is how they plan to win this series. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We're live at Boom Boss Craft Pizza and Tap House in East Nashville. Once again, come on out and register to win a pair of Game 3 tickets. Ian's back in our wholesaling studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game, and we're streaming on the Game Nashville app. What has to happen in order for you guys to be that physical, knowing that Carolina doesn't want to play that game?
I think it's a mindset too. We're talking about it. Obviously, they talk about what they need to do. We talk about what we need to do. We know what our strength is. If you look at our team to their team. So for us, it's a mindset. We talk about it, and obviously we want to play to that too, where we can get opportunities to hit, where we can get opportunities to use the physical presence out there. It's something that we're going over. We're getting a plan with it, and hopefully we can go and execute it and go on a run.
That was Matthias Ekholm on our show last week saying, that's the way we play. We want to play physical. We want to be the Predators. When John Hines became the coach, we're kind of in the middle of figuring out what they were, what they weren't. But I don't think anybody would have said that they were a physical team. They said this offseason they wanted to get tougher to play against. And at the beginning of the year, they had the grit players without the grit play. And it was pretty ugly. So far, it looks like they've developed that a little bit. But I think that, this isn't a Barry Trotz team. Now, they may try to play like a Barry Trotz team against the Carolina Hurricanes. I think that's the game plan, is just beat them to death. Just muck it up. Just outwork them. Just outgrit them. Just out-hit them. Everything. But I wouldn't say that the Predators are a physical team, though that's what we will see them try to do tonight. Caroline, what do you think of that game plan? Again, they're confident this is going to work. They're confident they're going to go into Carolina and they're going to hit them, and they're going to rough them up, and they're going to be physical, and they're going to pop them in the mouth, and that they're going to be able to win at least one of those two games in Carolina, although I think they think they're probably going to win both. But they think that this is going to work. What do you think of that?
What have we heard about the Hurricanes this entire season? They're physical. They're tough.
Sure.
They're fast. The only way to beat a physical and tough and fast team is to be that exact same way, even more so, is to be tougher than them, is to work harder than them, is to be more physical than them. So if they think that that is what it takes, I mean, they've played the Hurricanes, what, seven times so far this season?
I think eight.
Eight times. So they know this team. They know what it takes to beat this team, and they know these team's strengths and weaknesses. So if they can capitalize on that and try and break down their strengths and make their strengths weaknesses, and if that's how they think that this is going to go, then hey, do what you got to do.
See, I don't think Carolina is that tough of a team. I mean, when I think about tough, I go back to the Winnipeg Jets in 2018. You know, that Winnipeg team, that Dustin Byfuglien team. I mean, they were just – Blake Wheeler was just beating up the Predators in the offensive zone. Dustin Byfuglien was just beating them up in the Winnipeg defensive zone. I mean, they were just big, and they were fast, and they were tough. And I don't feel that way about Carolina. I think Carolina is a very highly skilled team. They are very deep. And I think if you get into a matchup of skill, they're going to beat you because they're better than you. If you get into a track meet, they're going to beat you because they're better than you. I think this is kind of one of those things where you got to slow them down before they enter your zone. Because if they enter your zone, they're setting up camp in there and they're going to score. And so when I think of physical teams, I don't think that this Carolina Hurricanes team at all fits the bill as far as a physical team is considered. What I think it does is nothing else. It's take the game away from speed. Take the game away from skill. Take the game away from where, quite frankly, the Hurricanes are better than you. Ian, what do you think of what seems like the Predators' plan to go in there and essentially, I'll put it to you like this. If Cody McLeod was still on the team, I think he'd be in the lineup tonight.
Probably fair. Well, I see where they're going with the angle. But when it comes to the playoffs, like, I just don't see the Preds as being that super physical of a team other than that, you know, herd fourth identity line, whatever you want to call it. Like, I don't see the second line. Cunning's been hitting, but, I mean, I don't see Granlund or Yarncroke as overly physical players. I definitely don't see Yossi or Ellis or Carrier as overly physical players. I guess I kind of like where they're going. But I just don't think they can pull it off. And when it comes to the playoffs, I mean, every team is physical. It doesn't matter who you are. And it's just, I don't think they'll be able to pull it off.
So what bothers me to your point is, I think that this, sometimes it's all a little talk. You know, and again, they're going to make the changes in the lineup to be more physical. But sometimes I think it's, to Ian's point, it's a little talk. Ryan Ellis has been embarrassed in the playoffs now 2 years in a row. I forget about what happened in the Arizona series. That was all just kind of a blur to me outside of Matt Duchesne's offsides. It's just all one big blur. But like Ryan Ellis was so taken advantage of with his size by the Winnipeg Jets in 2018. And he was so taken advantage of by the Dallas Stars in 2019. I mean, remember the Jamie Benn in the corner throwing him aside, you know, in game five, a very critical play in that series. And so I guess Ian's point is well taken, which is, okay, we're going to take, and I'm saying this as you're the Predators, we're going to take Ellie Tolvanen and Dante Fabbro out of our lineup. We're going to replace them with Ben Harper and Brad Richardson. So you are taking out guys of a certain skill level, although, again, Fabbro and Tolvanen, at least the way they're playing right now, they're not all-stars. But you're taking those two guys out, and you're replacing them with guys that really all they have is that they're big, veteran, and kind of physical, if that's, in fact, what John Hines ends up doing tonight. I don't know if it's enough to beat Carolina. I would agree with Ian. Everybody plays physical. Sometimes certain teams can do it better than others this time of year. That's where, if this were a Barry Trotz team with a Barry Trotz roster, the way that they were back in the day, I'd feel a lot better about this idea of we're going to go in there and beat them up. The one thing I'll say, though, is what else do they have to hang their hats on? Like, what else is there? They've got to find something that they as a group can believe in. And I think this is it. Because John Hines can't look at those guys in the dressing room and say, all right, here's our plan. We're going to go outskate the Carolina Hurricanes. Because nobody thinks they can do that. They're not as fast as Carolina. I kept hearing John Hines. I asked John Hines today about the identity of the team. Because he talks about identity so much. And I asked him, and he talked about being fast. I'm like, this team's not fast. Like, this team, watch Connor McDavid. That's fast. This team is not a fast team. They're not a slow team, but they're not a fast team. To Ian's point, like, they're not a weak team, but I also don't look at the Predators and think, man, that is a rugged, tough. Like, they're using the Mike Vrabel game plan, but when we look at the Mike Vrabel players, I think we feel a little bit different about them trying to be all nice and tough. But again, I think this is the only thing Hines can sell to the guys that they can latch onto and really go with. And I told you, I've talked to enough people. I think they think they're going to win. So Hines has at least done that, instilled the confidence that they can win, and that's how. But then I think Ian brings up a pretty valid point that it's going to be hard to actually do that.
And I think his point there was to, they have to play fast. They have to play relentless. They have to play quick in order to win. Because
but they can't play as fast and quick as these guys.
No, but he pointed out and he said the reason why the Predators dropped those two kind of midseason games to Carolina in Raleigh was because they didn't play fast enough. So they know exactly what they need to do in order to get it done because they didn't do it in the past. And it's hard to look at these past two games in Nashville, the two games that the Predators did take, and say, oh, well, you know, they beat them then, because that's not the Carolina Hurricane team that you're going to see tonight or the rest of this week.
So I say the Saturday Carolina Hurricane team is, I mean, that May 8th game, I say that's legit. The Pekka-Rinne send-off game, I don't think that one was legit.
No.
But I take that May 8th, and I say that was legit. And again, they out-hit the Hurricanes 23-14 plus 9 in that game. So, I again, that's what they're trying to sell. And I asked David Poile about the idea on Friday of Tolvanen and Fabbro being out of the lineup. And David kind of highlighted, and now that I feel like this is their plan, this is their plan for victory at Carolina, is to go in there and try to act like the big bad bullies. I think it kind of makes sense that they take him out. Listen to what David said about how the lineup may change throughout the series. And think this, when we play this, think about this idea that game one's lineup, even if they win, changes. That perhaps this is all about setting a tone. Here's what David said.
The coaches really have their hands full this year based on all the players that we've used. I mean, we have 34 players here in Nashville. We've had basically 34 players here since before the trading deadline. When we got to the trading deadline, we had a roster of like 22 players, and then we had like 8 guys on IR. So we knew we were going to be at least 30 or more players. That's hard to balance on a daily basis for practices and keeping everybody happy. So I really do believe that the coaches have done a good job in that area. Having said that, there's no chance that we have everybody that's going to be totally 100% happy when the lineup is announced for game one. But as John has told the players on a consistent basis, especially in the second half of the season when we played our best hockey, is that the Predators are going to play a certain way, and who's ever in the lineup, we're going to continue to play that way. And because of the way we're going to play, we're going to continue to be successful. So my take on this, and what I think the messaging is to anybody who doesn't dress in game one, is that please work hard, be ready to go. This is a decision for one game. I think win or lose, no guarantees on this, but I would say our lineup for game two in Carolina will be different by 2 or 3 players. I just think that's the type of year that it's been.
We're going to have to play a certain way, and win or lose, we may change the lineup. Now, most teams don't change the lineup if they win in the NHL. Most teams do, you know, usually if you lose, you react by, oh, we got to take this guy out, we got to put this guy in, because we need to change it up. You don't do that when you win in the playoffs unless somebody gets hurt. So I think that that's the message. When I hear David Poile, now that I go back to Friday with the, hey, you know, there's a certain way that we've been playing since we've been winning. This is the way we have to play to win. Everybody stick with it and just know, win or lose, we might change the lineup going into game two. Which means even if we win, Ellie Tolvanen, we may change the lineup going into game two, which makes me think he's going to want to put out Brad Richardson, or I could not see him putting Matthew Olivier out there tonight, but somebody like that into the lineup, hoping that that sets the tone, wins game one, then says, okay, now that we've sent the message for how we're going to play, now let's put the better players back in there. Again, I don't love the theory, but I understand the thinking. And I think most of the times in life, like we talked about this on Friday, everybody's turned into disagreements into, oh, you're stupid. So, like, if I disagree with you, that just makes you stupid. And, like, that's just not how life works. So while I don't totally, like, while I don't totally agree that you're going to beat the Carolina Hurricanes by doing it, the messaging, if in fact we're right about how they're doing this, probably is the best thing to galvanize the group. And that's probably the most important thing because, again, you're not going to walk in there and say, all right, we're going to outplay Sebastian Aho, and we're going to outplay Trochuk, and we're going to outplay Tara Vinen, and we're going to outplay Dougie Hamilton, and we're going to outplay all these guys. You're not going to walk in there and do that. So what do you do to sell to your team that you can win? And I think that's the message. And so far, I think it's working out a little bit, or at least they believe in it. Now, again, is it going to work out? We'll see tonight. But they believe in it. 615-737-1025. We'll get to your reaction next. 615-737-1025. Again, I think it's going to be ugly hockey tonight, and I think that's the game the Predators want to play. We are live at Boom Boss Craft Pizza and Tap House in East Nashville. Again, come on out and register to win a pair of tickets for game number 3 at Bridgestone Arena. You can do that until we're out of here at 6 o'clock. You know what season it is? That's right. It's not just playoff season. It's a moving season. If you're looking to move, you need to give my friends at TriStar Moving a call. At TriStar Moving, you'll get 5-star service throughout the entire process. Everything will be taken care of. They'll cover your floors, your banisters, your railings, your front door thresholds, and more. They're even going to wrap and protect all of your furniture and put all of your TVs in protective boxes. I know this because, well, I got a lot of TVs. And they took fantastic care of my entire move. They also made it as stress-free as possible. And right now, they have a brand-new state-of-the-art storage facility in Mount Juliet. Their owners, Garrett and Robert, are true Nashvillians. They want to help this community any way they can. So if you're looking to move, give my friends at TriStar Moving a call. 615-640-1219. Or visit their website, nashvillemoving.org/radio. They'll give you 5% off your entire move. That's TriStar Moving. 615-640-1219. nashvillemoving.org/radio. TriStar Moving. My official movers.
John, you've talked a lot about identity, playing to the identity over the last couple of days. How would you define that identity that you want the team to play to?
Well, we want to play fast. We want to play physical, relentless checking, you know, when we don't have the puck. I think our execution, when we play north fast, which means when we're up and out of our zone and we're playing direct to the offensive zone with speed and good puck support and moving the puck quick, putting it behind people, putting it behind their D and really accessing our speed. And that allows us to get into, you know, aggressive forechecking, physical play and a relentless play without the puck. You know, that's the identity that we want to play with. And when we do that throughout our lineup, we're a difficult team to play against.
You know, when I heard that today, when I asked John about the identity, because he kept talking about identity, identity, identity. I'm like, all right, John, like what's the identity of the team? And he talked about speed and getting the puck out and speed and forechecking. And Ian, I thought about something Hal Gill said when they played Carolina earlier in the season. And he was talking about, as a D-man, when you're playing a team that can suffocate you like the Hurricanes were suffocating the Predators, sometimes you want to set up the right pass and you want to get the puck out and you want to, okay, you know, get it over here and then let's set it up and let's go. And that when you're facing that kind of pressure, Hal said, sometimes you just got to say, get the puck out. Just get it out. Like, just once you've got it behind the net, find somebody, get the puck out, and go. And I did feel, Ian, like listening to John Hines right there, that's the message tonight, is do not let that Carolina forecheck get you. And then you've got to get out there, and you've got to get after their forecheck. And I would say one thing that bothers me is when it comes to being a better goalie right now, Saros is ahead of Rene, there's no doubt. Rene plays the puck much better. And I worry about that as far as them getting it out of their own zone tonight.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be tough. I mean, that's, you know, the name. These two teams are very similar in that way, in that they really like to hound on that forecheck. And so, I mean, they're going to be coming just as hard at Yossi and Ellis. And it's going to be tough to, you know, quick passes through the neutral zone. And one thing that they did use on Saturday that we'll have to see is they used those stretch passes. I think we noticed some of that. Some of those longer passes and maybe from blue line to blue line kind of go get through the neutral zone a little bit quicker. So maybe that's something we'll have to keep an eye on as well.
As much as we hated those passes earlier in the season. I mean, as much as when things were not good and we hated those passes. You think it's going to work, Caroline? You think Barry Trotz hockey works tonight against the Carolina Hurricanes? You think the physical, we're going to go in there, we're going to punch them, we're going to show them, we're going to... You think it works?
I don't know. It worries me. I think that you have to match the physicality of the Hurricanes. Sarah Sevian, the beat writer for the Hurricanes for The Athletic, mentioned that one of the Hurricanes' biggest weaknesses is that if they don't get going early, if they don't get that competitive advantage early, they kind of fall back. So they need to get that first step. They need to take dominance early. And if they don't do that, then the only way that they don't do that is if the Predators are physical. So if they can get under their skin, if they can outskate, then if they can be more physical than the Hurricanes, then I think it possibly could.
I mean, when you look at Carolina, their style very much is like a Peter Laviolette team. And as we've learned around here, and you know me, I love Peter Laviolette, but as we've learned around here, if you play Peter Laviolette-style hockey and you get punched in the mouth, it sometimes is hard to kind of get off the mat. I mean, this is – the Preds' game plan would be perfect for Chris Sanders because all Chris Sanders ever does is talk about going out and punching somebody in the mouth. And I think a lot of that is because that's what the Titans did when he was on the team. But that's what they're going to try to do tonight. And – I mean, again, I think Carolina's good. I mean, you know what? This is probably they're holding on hope to what they think can work because everything else Carolina probably has the advantage on. I promised your reaction, so we'll get to it. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Once again, we are live out at Boomba's Craft Pizza and Tap House in East Nashville. Once again, stop on by. We're here 2 to 6. You can register to win a pair of tickets for Game 3 Friday night. Friday night, 6 o'clock, special time, earlier start. But a pair of tickets could be yours. Come on out, register, and say hey. Phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Caroline Fenton on the text line. What do we have?
Mason texted in and said goalie is the only position that matters. Bubble Yussi, it's over quick. But if second half Saros shows up, we can make a little run.
So I just don't believe that. You know, the idea that it's like, hey, all that matters is our goalie versus their goalie. And because what? They're probably going to start Nedeljkovic, right? Like, it feels...
That's what it feels like. Yeah,
it feels like it's going to be Nedeljkovic. Although, I'd rather face Nedeljkovic than Mrazek, because Mrazek has owned the Predators. And I know that, you know, in the playoffs, that doesn't necessarily translate. I don't need to see Peter Mrazek own the Predators again. I've seen it enough. But so, like, Yussi Saros right now is a better goalie than either Nedeljkovic or Peter Mrazek. But I'm not – go back to the Cup Final in 2017. Pekka is a better goalie than Matt Murray. Pekka is a better goalie than Marc-Andre Fleury. Now, they didn't play Fleury, but he's a better goalie than Matt Murray. But Matt Murray had Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin on his team and Phil Kessel, and you didn't. And I think the biggest issue with me and the Predators, and before I can believe that the Predators are going to be a contender again, is I need to know where the goals are going to come from. Like, where do you feel comfortable getting a goal? Look at their lineup. You can see where the goals are coming from. And so this idea that it's all about the goalie, I think he can steal one or two games in this series. He's got to steal two. But to say that that's what matters, that's the only thing that matters is the goalie, that bothers me because I think there's a lot at play that probably goes over. I mean, Saros, when they lost 4-1 on April 15th and when they lost 3-1 on April 17th at Carolina, Saros was outstanding in both those games. I remember watching those games and walking away saying, you know what? Saros played pretty well. Saros played okay. I mean, when they lost the game 3-1, Carolina had 48 shots.
Whew.
The Predators had 28 shots. I mean, that's the name of the game right there. 615-737-1025. We'll get back to your texts. I know we got a lot of them, so we'll get back to your texts. 615-737-1025 is our phone number as we are live at Boomba's Craft Pizza and Tap House in East Nashville. Once again, come on by and register to win tickets. We'll get to your reaction. Plus, there was something that's already happened in the playoffs that made me think, you know, I'm a big guy. I'm not a big wishful thinker guy. You know, I'm not a big, you know, hope that it happens or, you know.
Speak it into existence.
Yeah, that's not really my game. But there was something that happened in one of these playoff games and I was like, woo. that could be a big deal. We'll get to that coming up next. Listen to The Game every weekday for your chance to win $1,000. It's The Game's 1K payday presented by Kentucky Kingdom and Hurricane Bay. Listen for keywords at 9, noon, and 3. When you hear it, go to thegamenashville.com and enter the keyword for a shot at $1,000. Stillman & Company, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game. We're delivered by TriStar Moving and streaming on The Game Nashville app. Stillman & Company is delivered by TriStar Moving. We are live at Boomba's Craft Pizza and Tap House in East Nashville, where we are giving away a pair of Game 3 tickets. But I need to clarify that you must be present to win the tickets, and they will be doing the drawing at the first intermission of tonight's game. So, again, those are kind of the rules. I didn't write them, but those are the rules. So, and I just found out about them, so I apologize to that, to anybody that was going to stop by and write, you know, come, stop by, put your name in. That's, you know, that's how we've done it in the past. But apparently tonight you have to be here at the first intermission when we give away the tickets, and I will be sure to mention that as we continue all throughout the show.
And it is not a bad place to be.
It is not a bad place to be. Now, Saturday night. I told you, I'm rooting for Peter Laviolette and the Washington Capitals because I like Laviolette a lot. Did you see what happened in goal for them? Because I've been a big, you know, this whole thing about Pekka and how Pekka's going to be, Pekka's still an important part of this team and Pekka's still going to, and I just kind of like, uh-huh. Like, this is going to be about Soros. And if they win, it's going to be about Soros. And if they lose, it's going to be about Soros. But, like, you know, the feel good of, hey, you know, they're going to need Pekka. What was it, Ian? One period Saturday night?
I don't even think he made it the whole period.
Washington has to go to the backup goalie because of an injury. John Hines on last Monday after Pekka had his final performance, John Hines said Pekka's a big part of this. Take a listen.
This team's got to get ready for the playoffs, and Pekka is a big part of it. And, you know, you always need depth. You always need guys ready to play. And I think his leadership, his ability to play, how he played tonight, I think it's inspirational to the team. And he's going to be a big part of us moving forward here in the playoffs. And I think that's our focus, and that's his focus.
I think at first I thought it was kind of like when your retired grandpa still goes into work every day. And it's like, grandpa's 79 years old, still going to work every day, but you really don't give him any responsibilities. And it's kind of like an honorary thing. That's what I thought when last week on Monday and Tuesday when all the talk was about Pekka. Then I watched one period of Washington Capitals playoff hockey, and I'm like, thank you for Pekka Rinne, because if something happens to Soros, I feel pretty comfortable with Pekka going in there. So, again, I know it's crazy to say, oh, well, Jared's now thankful the backup might actually have to play, but just when you see it in real life a little bit, it probably kind of comes out maybe a little bit more, or it shows you a little bit more.
I don't want you to manifest any of this negative energy toward UC Soros.
Knock on wood.
Knock on all the wood.
What's in the text line?
Speaking of Soros, one texter texted in and said, unfortunately, Soros is going to take a step back tonight in the playoffs, so Preds lose game one. That is his prediction.
You know, it's funny. The thing about UC Soros is he doesn't have a ton of believers outside of Nashville, Tennessee. And you know, there was something in The Athletic where I think it was like an executive or a scout or a coach or something. And they kind of pointed to Soros and said, I'm not so sold. And I remember before the season, there was talk about Soros, and there were executives. I think it was Pierre LeBrun maybe did it, or Craig Custance did it, but a goalie tier, kind of similar to the quarterback tier that Mike Sando does every summer. And there was a lot of question marks surrounding UC Soros. And I think Joe Rexroad said today he was talking about Soros and goes, well, I'm not sure, or maybe it was Corey Curtis on Robbie and Rexroad said, I don't think Soros is the goalie of the next 5 years, but I think Soros is the goalie now and will be. I think there's a lot of question marks surrounding Soros. Now, here's the thing about Soros. Like I said in the last segment, I don't think tonight's game hinges fully upon Soros. Now, if he doesn't play well, they've got no shot, no chance. But I think he could play well and they could still lose. It's kind of like the Green Bay Packers, although he's not Aaron Rodgers. But you go into a game, and you know the Packers could lose, but you know it's not going to be because of Aaron. The Predators could lose tonight, but it can't be because of Soros. Because if it is, they have no chance. What's it?
Another texter texted in, in reference to the last Carolina game when Pekka came in and the Preds won that game too, sure, against Carolina, he said it may not have been the Hurricanes lineup that we will face in the playoffs, but that last game, the Predators also had a ton of replacement players in as well. And of course, and I don't want to discredit that win from the Predators. That very much so was a win. A win is a win. Doesn't matter who was playing. I'm just saying you can't base your predictions and your thoughts about tonight's game just off of that last game.
Yeah, I don't take anything away from that last game. And I'm sure somebody will get mad or somebody will say that I said something, or I don't take anything away from that last game. I thought it was a great last game. It was a great senior night. It's like college basketball, but worse, right? You see in college basketball all the time, a team will win their conference tournament and you'll be like, I got to pick them. I mean, they won the conference tournament. They're the Big Ten champions. I'm putting them in the Final Four because they're hot. And then all of a sudden they get bounced in the first round by Oral Roberts State City Junior College University. And
Northwest.
It's like, yeah, like it's just like, well, how did that happen? I mean, not an apples-to-apples comparison, but it's kind of similar. I don't take – the only tangible thing I think that matters from last Monday night's game – now, you want to talk about last Saturday night's game, the May 8th game, the 3-1 win that clinched a playoff spot? We can talk about
different.
That game. We can talk about that game. You want to talk about the May 10th game? The only thing that I walked away from after that game that mattered for this series is I'm hopeful that Matt Duchene gets going because of it. I'm hopeful that the two goals for Matt Duchene carries over into the playoffs and Matt Duchene plays like the player he is paid to be.
Words are hard.
Well, it's just pay, you know.
Tongue twister.
I'm not going after him like I did Kyle Turris with the pay what you owe, but it's good. I mean, credit card bills due, Matt. What's next?
Another texter texted in about one of your former favorite Predators, Craig Smith. He wants to know how you thought about him being praised for his work on the power play last night for the Bruins.
What is the score of that series?
I believe the Capitals are up one game.
Okay. And how did Craig Smith do in that one game that they lost?
Well, he said he's getting praise for his work on the power play.
Mm-hmm. Praise. That. Hey, you know what? That's what you need in the play. You know what? What are we sitting here talking about? Hits and shots and goalies. Praise. That's what the Predators need. Praise. That's what's going to get them over the top against Carolina. Praise. You know, Craig Smith is going to walk away. Craig Smith is going to have a nice, lengthy NHL career. It's already it's a nice career. It is not a bad career at all whatsoever. He's going to have a nice career.
I think there's a butt coming.
Well, he just doesn't do anything when it matters. He just never does anything. But, hey, the analytics like him, and everybody, oh, no, Craig Smith, he's a good player. I don't think the Predators are any worse for the wear without him. And I certainly, as I sit here tonight, think about how are you going to beat the Carolina Hurricanes? The last thing on my mind is, man, if they had Craig Smith in there. By the way, that great Craig Smith work on the power play for Boston, which, by the way, should be an electric power play when you look at the forwards that they are putting out on the ice, because they ain't putting out Patrice Bergeron around here. I mean, they're not rolling David Pastrnak out on that first power play unit for the Predators. It should be noted that Craig Smith was on the team and on the power play units each of the last 3 years, and the Predators' power play unit was, in fact, god-awful each of the last 3 years. So how do I feel about Craig Smith? I don't give one you-know-what about Craig Smith. And honestly, until he starts winning games, nobody please bother me about Craig Smith, please. I'm in a good mood. We got the Predators playing Carolina, and like Craig Smith sucks, and nobody ever wants to admit it, but it's just kind of how it is. Just
we're not going to let any Craig Smith rain on your parade today. Today is like your Christmas.
I mean, like if they lose and you want to celebrate the fact that I was right all along about the fact that the guy doesn't move the needle one way or another, that's fine. But that series is not over. And I am still rooting for the Washington Capitals. By the way, how about that cha-ching right there on Caroline's rolling with Laviolette Friday night?
They got lucky overtime goal.
They didn't get lucky. They had a backup goalie. They played a backup goalie.
Yeah, pretty good game.
Just saying. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. An anonymous coach, an anonymous executive, and an anonymous scout. Don't pick the Predators to win this series. But they do something that maybe a lot of us haven't done. I'll explain next. Stillman & Company, we're live at Boom Boss Craft Pizza and Tap House. Come on out and register to win those tickets. Again, that's in East Nashville. You must be present, though. First intermission is when they will draw those tickets. Stillman & Company right here. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game. We're streaming on the Game Nashville app.